Giving patients information is giving patients power, and working in partnership with them, we can solve this problem.
Welcome to See You Now Insights. I'm Rebecca McEnroy. Knowledge is power. And as nurse, educator, and historian Diane Baker explains in this insight, understanding the connection between oral care and pneumonia prevention and having the resources to act on it can prevent harm and save lives.
When did we divide the mouth from the body? And a particular area of interest of mine has been in pneumonia prevention in hospitals. So this is a primary safety issue for every patient coming into the hospital. If a patient acquires pneumonia in the hospital, we refer to that as hospital-acquired pneumonia. It is now the number one hospital-acquired infection in the United States. This was reported by the CDC in 2018. Unfortunately, to date, there have not been regulatory requirements for hospitals to monitor or intervene to prevent this type of pneumonia. It's very serious. One in five patients, or about 20%, will die when they get hospital-acquired pneumonia. And it's costing the healthcare system in the United States literally billions of dollars in extended stay, antimicrobial usage, which would not otherwise be necessary, and other types of patient harm. So what does that have to do with the mouth? Well, here's the key. Pneumonia comes from germs in the mouth. And we all have lots of germs. We have about 200 million microbes that live in our mouth. And for the most part, as long as we're brushing our teeth, eating, talking, they balance themselves out pretty nicely. And there's little harm that comes. However, when we walk into the hospital, that all changes. We do several things that disrupt that normal flora of the germs in our mouth. And it begins to shift toward health-harming bacteria. And as those health-harming bacteria flourish, all of us do have a little bit of slippage, what we call microaspiration, very tiny nanoparticles that slip down into our lungs. Again, in a healthy adult, not so much of a problem. But when you're in the hospital, you're compromised. You're given medications to dry out your mouth. You're put in bed. You're immobilized. Sometimes you're put tubes down to your lungs to help you breathe. And then nurses do not have adequate time to ensure that that oral microbiome is maintained by toothbrushing and oral care during hospitalization. In our study, we found out that patients are getting oral care about an average of once every 3 days. You know, you're sick, you're tired, and you don't know it's important. We have not inform the general public about the importance of oral care. I mean, even loved ones could help with this in the hospital. They'd probably be happy to if they had the right kind of toothbrush and a good toothpaste and a way to provide oral care. They would be very helpful to the nurses. Nurses in general are not aware of the association between germs in the mouth as the primary source of pneumonia. So without that knowledge, they're really limited in being motivated to even think about this. And nurses have a lot to do. So why would they put oral care at the top of their list when they haven't been informed about this critical harm and something that's very dangerous? And why did that happen? Because we have separated the mouth from the body. It's a very important thing that all patients and their family members could take on and help take responsibility for, you know, except in the case of patients that, say, have severe disability or maybe their immediate post-stroke where they need the nurses to use a special suction-type toothbrush to prevent further aspiration. But about 80% of patients could manage this on their own if they knew, if the nurses knew, and if they had the right equipment in an easy location and a good way of recording that this is being done. There's a long way we can go toward getting this fundamental aspect of care back in place in hospitals and help stop the number one hospital-acquired infection. So giving patients information is giving patients power, and working in partnership with them, we can solve this problem. We have some pretty phenomenal results. One of the local hospitals here reduced their hospital-acquired pneumonia by 70%, saved the hospital system over $6 million in 1 year, and more importantly, 32 preventable deaths from hospital-acquired pneumonia were predicted from the data. That's a lot of life saved and a lot of money. Kaiser Permanente in Northern California implemented hospital-acquired pneumonia prevention, emphasizing things like oral care along with a very strong mobility program. They have reduced their hospital-acquired pneumonia by 40%. Veterans Administration has now taken this on nationally with their hospitals under the direction of Dr. Shannon Monroe, and they have seen phenomenal results, up to, again, 60 to 80% reduction in hospital-acquired pneumonia, preventing hundreds of deaths among our veterans in the United States. So when hospitals take this on and nurses take this on, we know we can get results.
That was nurse, educator, and historian Diane Baker from See You Now, Episode 7, Brushing for Your Life. You can listen back to the full episode and find over 100 conversations with nurses who are transforming healthcare when you subscribe to See You Now wherever you get podcasts. For See You Now, I'm Rebecca McEnroy. Thanks for listening.